This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
I'm sure many of you have heard the tale already. As we start this hour of America Tonight, the Monday press briefing was interesting at the White House because they opened up talking about tax reform. That would be Sarah Sanders did and Huckabee Sanders. And then, of course, immediately it turned to the former Trump campaign manager, Paul Manafort, who was in federal court following an indictment. And what's that indictment for? Well, this is that whole Russia deal and the interference into the election, the 2016 election. So here's the bottom line in this. Let me just give you the facts. Throw out the factolas first, right? So this is it. This is what happened. Donald Trump's campaign man, former Manafort, and another aide, Rick Gates, were both charged with money laundering on Monday. There was a third Trump advisor, George Papadopoulos, who pleaded guilty early in October to lying to the FBI. That was announced on Monday because he already copped that up. So this was a massive escalation of what's been going on. Robert Mueller's been looking into this, the U.S. Department, Justice Department special counsel, for 5 months into the efforts to tilt the election. So both Manafort and Gates pled not guilty to the charges against them in a 12-count indictment. And just a little peel back on the indictment, it ranged from money laundering to acting as unregistered agents of Ukraine's former pro-Russian government. So the bottom line is this. The judge ordered house arrest for both, set bail at $10 million, unsecured bond for Manafort and unsecured for Gates at $5 million. So with unsecured, they are, so you know, they're released without having to pay, but owe the money if they fail to appear in court. Now, what happens after this? And, of course, what happens as far as the reaction? The reaction has been swift. There's no question. So neither Trump or his campaign was mentioned in the indictment against the two of them. A White House spokesperson, who I mentioned before, said the indictment had nothing to do with Trump or the campaign and showed no evidence of collusion between the campaign and Russia. So the charges against him could put pressure on him to cooperate into this investigation. We'll see if that happens. The timing of all this is pretty interesting. Remember, Manafort ran the Trump campaign in the summer of 2016, so June to August before resigning, right before the story about the fact that he might have received millions of dollars in illegal payments from a pro-Russian political party in the Ukraine. So now the question becomes, too, is he going to get pardoned? Will he be pardoned? And, of course, that gets sidestepped, and it's so far down the road, I guess, that I mean, you're not going to get an answer on that no matter what. If you're screaming out at a White House briefing, that's not a shock that you wouldn't get that. Congressman Pete King, a longtime Republican congressman from New York, said there's nothing in the indictments handed down against President Donald Trump's former campaign manager and his deputy that implicates the president or his campaign. And he says it's wrong to speculate about the indictments. That's it. He said, from everything I have seen and read, there's nothing at all that involves the campaign in any way, period. It goes back 5 or 6 years, and it predates the campaign entirely and probably predates Paul Manafort meeting Donald Trump, is what Congressman King said. According to the 12-count indictment, these are factola alert, which was handed down, heading into the weekend, it included conspiracy against the United States, conspiracy to launder money. I mentioned that performing as an unregistered agent of foreign principal, false and misleading statements, false statements, and 7 counts of failure to report, to file reports of foreign bank and financial institutions. So The indictment doesn't mention Trump or the campaign, but instead many alleged activities taking place in the years before they joined. And that makes sense, because if you see of how far that goes back, so then King is right. If you add all this up, how do you tie it together to the tilted election? So the president, of course, brushed off the indictment just with some tweets saying that they were charged well before the election. So what do you want? They were charged before the election. And like I said, this is a couple of shells to fall off the table. Where all this ends up, I don't know. I mean, the amount of money that Manafort spent and the whole following the ball, following the money, doesn't look good for him. But again, does it tie him to the president and a tilted election is just the facts, is the question. And the answer to that is right now doesn't look like that at all. It doesn't look at all like that. So it is huge for Manafort's lawyer to combat this and Gates's lawyer, but ultimately, unless there is some big reveal, and from what I hear from people that I know, that let's say have glanced at it, they say they don't see it, that they don't see anything happening there. So I guess for the press, probably best to just watch it all unfold. And in Congress, there's been reaction from Democrats and from Republicans, but not as much as you would think. And not as much, again, because they're constantly asked about it. I don't know that we'll hear anything in the next couple of days or not. I think this has to play out probably a little bit more. Now, we do have some more information on Niger and what happened with those soldiers. The soldiers that were killed were on a train and advise mission. I think we assumed that or knew that. So the four Green Berets that were killed, because people keep asking the question, how can this be? How were they exposed? What was going on? And the answer to, you know, that question is that that's the role that they were in. That's the mission. Train and advise, period. They were part of that patrol that was a combined patrol, which means they were there with Niger troops and they were on patrol where they're teaching them to do what they call key leader engagement. And that was a well thought out, et cetera, and that this is something that's happened again and again and again and again and again. Frightening, though, that it happened and that they were killed. So we've got about 100 troops, and we've talked about this before, in that area and then in surrounding countries, and about 6,000 troops in all of Africa. So Mattis testified that American troops are trying to prepare the forces for when ISIS moves into their area. And that's the reason they're there. And excuse me, what happens in Iraq and Syria, and if they fall, that's what they're trying to get them ready for. And what an incredibly sad, sickening tale of how they died in the beginning of October. But the curiosity and wanting to know the specifics, I certainly that needs to be out there. And that's exactly what Mattis is releasing, that information and talking about what happened. All right, we come back. It's all about you as we go to the mailbag. And if you want to throw in your 2 cents, you can as well. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283.
Registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs knows the benefits of supplementing with whey protein for optimal health and vitality. That's why he recommends protein shakes like the ones available through the Suzanne Division of Longevity.
Whey is ridiculously important. In fact, next to human mother's milk, whey protein is the most nutrient-dense food. The two major proteins in cow's milk, casein and whey. The whey part of milk contains growth factors and immune-stimulating factors, building the immune system. We're talking about cancer. The body has cancer fighters built into it. The body has molecules and entities that kill cancer. Those are part of the immune system.
To build and support your immune system, order the protein shakes from from the Suzanne Division of Longevity, available in chocolate and vanilla. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidebib.com. That's brightsidebib.com. Order today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
In an emergency, you need a fire now. But what if the wood is wet? No problem for InstaFire. Our non-toxic fire starter packs lights wet wood, floats, and can even burn on water or in any weather. Sustains winds up to 30 miles per hour, and each pouch weighs only 1.75 ounces. Need an emergency or camp stove? Get the InstaFire Inferno stove that boils 20 ounces of water in under 3 minutes with controllable heat and temp from 425 to 1500 degrees. Free shipping. Go to InstaFire.com and use discount code RADIO30 at the 3 times for 30% off your order. InstaFire. Fire in an instant.
Like to see something strange.
Come with us and you will see this our show of Halloween. This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Pumpkins creep in the middle of night. This is Halloween, everybody make a scene. Trick or treat,
it's our show.
Everybody's there.
Halloween! I just mentioned it briefly. Yes, Halloween, Halloween. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. And a big shout-out to our pals in Sarasota, WSRQ. Get a lot of email from that area. Beautiful Sarasota. So thanks for listening to us, and thanks for throwing in your 2 cents. We're going to go to the mailbag, but before we do that, let's go to Dan in the great state of Texas. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Kate. I've got a little bit of information for you. This thing that Mueller is pulling off is to protect his own butt and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Comey and all the rest of the clientele that was part of the little routine that was doing that little fake routine of trying to hang Donald Trump with that dossier. It's all to cover up the fact that they sold 20% of our uranium to the Russians, and Bill and Hillary got $150 million vis-a-vis supposed speaking fees and cash donations, and also Baraki got some of the green, and so did a whole bunch of other people. It is all a big scam. These people are guilty. They're guilty of treason. And if the Republicans do not get their act together and hold these people accountable and prosecute them and put them in jail, there's going to be a whole lot of replacements for the Republicans. Now, we're still going to vote Republican, but there's going to be a whole lot of new candidates that will do what we want done. And we want these scum that tried to steal our entire government from us, the American people, put in jail. And that's what the bottom line is. And that's why Mueller came out with this bogus bull hockey indictment on Manafort and Gates, and they've got Papadopoulos out there doing his little routine, as it's all a damn scam. They had to do something because the hammer was coming down, because without any evidence of collusion by Trump and his minions, this is nothing but a bogus bull hockey operation, and everybody that's been paying attention knows it. And the power shift has changed. It's no longer for the Dems in any way, shape, or form. We want our country back, and we're going to take it one way or another.
Well, it certainly is looking like there's going to be some candidates that are going to be scrambling. I agree with that. There's no doubt about it. You can see it already. You can see it happening. Yeah.
Well, that's all I've got. I'll talk
like
to you
that.
Later.
Short and sweet for Dan. All right, thanks. So Dan says, as was certainly that's been discussed, that, you know, this is a deflection and this is one that was expected. So what did you think was going to happen? And I would say, look what Trump said. I mean, the bottom line is this. Whatever's going on with Manafort anyway, there's no hook into, at least not now, it's not showing that, there's no hook into the election. So that's what's at odds here. And if it's not there, then that has nothing to do, whatever your feelings are about the White House, Donald Trump, whoever. Here's some factoids. If there's no facts linking this, no evidence, no any of that, well, of course, that shows that it's not there, that they couldn't find anything, that it wasn't linked. It wasn't linked to that it was something that was going on years and years before. And that, of course, is very different. You know, very different when you're talking about this whole Russian investigation. I mean, Manafort did what he was supposed to do. He surrendered. What is he going to do? And it's on business dealings. It's not on the campaign. So it has nothing to do with that. And which is why, if you remember, he dumped out of running the campaign because of what was happening. So the president, I think, is saying what he said is accurate. It's not, there's no hook into it. You know, what do you expect? All right, I want to make sure that, because as soon as I made that big announcement, I got all those great emails from Sarah, so I want to make sure we hit the mailbag quickly. So let's go to the mailbag.
The mail is here.
Ooh.
All right, this one is from Jake, a different Jake. I have like three Jakes that listen to the show, and he is listening to us in Sarasota. He says, Kate, I'm a big football fan and obviously a fan of talking about politics that aren't, so I love listening to your show. Zach Miller, the Chicago Bears tight end, do you hear that he underwent surgery? He almost lost his leg after a touchdown reception, trying to make one. Wow. Scary, isn't it? Yeah, that you described it. He damaged, I guess, we had a dislocation, and they were playing the New Orleans Saints, and it was like the third quarter, he was trying to make a touchdown. And on the field, he dislocated it, and the way he was carted off, it's not about carting it off that did that, but what happened and how it came down, when they went into the surgery, they were trying to save his leg from being amputated. Wow! Because blood flow and all of that. But luckily, they were able to do that. I mean, wow! How serious is that? So he's never played in a 16-game season. He started, I want to say, in 2012, but that was a scary moment. So, yeah. All right, let's move on to another one. This one is from Joseph, also listening to us in Florida. Kate, this Kevin Spacey thing. I mean, everybody seems to be hiding under a shroud of secrecy, whether it's Washington, D.C., or it's Los Angeles and these crazy nuts in Hollywood. Maybe the good thing is because of that Weinstein character, more is dropping out that shouldn't really have been covered up in the first place, and it can get cleaned up, and it'll be a different world, especially for some of you women who don't deserve to be treated that way. You deserve to be treated by kind, fabulous men in your lives and around you professionally. And that's too bad that some of this nonsense happened. Yeah, in the case of Kevin Spacey, it was a guy, too, in which I know you're referring to that. And, boy, he apologized, but he's getting dumped all over the place, too. And he said he had no recollection of any of that. And then he said he was gay. So, wow. Yeah, that was just a bombshell. Okay, let's move on to another one. This one is from Terry, who says, Kate Manafort, wow, charged with tax fraud and money laundering. But here's the critical piece of news, people. For everybody who's trying to hang it on the Trump administration, none of it was tied to Trump, the campaign, any of that. It's what happened 5 and 6 years before. Yep, that's what is being said. So I can't argue with that. However, the president does have the power of the pardon, so he could be pardoned, right? All right, how about this? This move on to another one. This one is from Darlene, who says, Kate, I used to be a fan of this guy because I thought he had pretty good, he was a pretty good journalist, politically speaking. Mark Halperin, the fact that he got dumped by NBC because of all the harassment charges against him, and that he was, how crude he was and things that he did to people at all these different places that he worked, the people that, the women that he harassed, and apologies just won't get it done. So he's done. I think you talked about reading his book Game Change. I did. That was about the 2012 election, and of course they were doing another, they made it into an HBO movie, but they were going to do a television adaptation of the upcoming book about the 2016 election. The book was canceled by Penguin. See, this goes to show you, and I watched that. It was called The Circus because they had different points of view. I liked it because they just showed you what was happening on all the campaign trails. And, wow. So if they do it for another season, he's not invited back. He's just done. He's just toast for all that came out. He's gone. So the book, everything was pulled out because nobody wants to be tied to that, especially with what's happening and some of the stories that are coming out, like I said, in all directions. All right. Now I'm going to introduce you to Dr. Judith Brown. She had an incredible tale to tell about her husband, who was a World War II for a time fighter pilot. Oh my gosh, listening to those stories, plus survived the Depression era. What a book, what a memoir. That's next. I'm coming up here on America Tonight.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow
allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
About our next guest. I mean, this book, really, honestly, you could read it in one setting. There's no way you could put it down. It's called Of Crows and Ivy Leaves. And it's really the story of Edgar Brown. And he and his wife collaborated on this, Dr. Judith Brown. And she joins us now to talk about that and Edgar's life. Dr. Brown, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about, first of all, what made Edgar want to do this book? Why did he want to do this book and talk about his life?
Okay, well, his son, his youngest son, was into genealogy, and he wanted to learn more about their family. And they went out to an old family farm where his grandparents had lived, and my husband Edgar goes by the name Ed, and so that's how I'll refer to him. Mm-hmm. But they went out to the family farm, and they heard these rain crows that he had heard as a child. And it just reminded him of his childhood and growing up years, and he was kind of inspired to write about his life because he felt like it was a way he could leave a legacy to his children and grandchildren and future generations. And that's what he did, and he did it. Great job, in my opinion.
No, he did do a great job. And what's so interesting about Ed is his life is interesting. I always say if you peel back the layers, and this is what's so great for the children to know deeper the stories about. I mean, first of all, the story about Ed, and tell us about this, about him hearing about Pearl Harbor on the radio and that inspiring him to take action. Tell the listeners about that story.
Okay, well, it was early in his senior year. They were hearing all of these rumors about the war, what was happening in the world. And he sensed that this war was coming. And he always had a sense of unreality, as though it was only a story that was being read out loud. It wasn't really real. But on a Sunday afternoon in December, on December the 7th, 1941, he had hitchhiked back from Sedalia to Warrensburg following his weekend job at home in Sedalia. And since there were no dorms in that day, he stayed in a boarding room. And he heard on the radio that Pearl Harbor had been bombed. And he knew that he was going to have to go because his number was up high. And so he knew that he was going to go, and he did not want to be on the ground and facing the enemy in the eye. And he wanted to fly, and he'd always wanted to fly. So he joined the military. It was his senior year, and they let him finish his last year of college before he went in to the military. But he talks about how, our country was sort of in pacifism mind at that time. But it really became very real as he went into the military and fought the Japanese as a pilot during World War II. And it was just a very emotional thing for him to do.
He was alone. And what did he say? To me, this is just fascinating. What did he talk about as far as flying a bomber? Because for all the listeners, he flew a bomber during World War II. What did he say that experience was like?
Well, it was very interesting. My husband was a perfectionist from childhood on up, and I think if you've read some of the book, you can kind of see that. He just wanted to do everything right the first time. And so he talks about learning all of the military bases that he was on and his pilot training and some close encounters that he had there, and then actually going into combat. And he really tells specifically details about missions he was on and how many ships were, how many were killed. I mean, in the book, there are things about the numbers of fatalities, and he just talks about a lot about his friends who did not make it back. There were some 50 of his close friends who did not make it back. But he was I feel like he was an excellent pilot. Now, this all happened before I was ever born, because my husband is 26 years older than me.
Mm-hmm. And so you got to hear him recounting those stories during, when you were married and having that conversation, then him deciding that he was going to pull this book together. And he also talked about, besides those riveting stories and the numbers, as you mentioned, about being a flyer, flying planes, being a bomber, as I mentioned, during World War II, he also talked about life during the Depression. What did he say about that?
He remembers the Dust Bowl, and he remembers he was an only child, and so he was not really, his family were considered pretty well off because his father always had a job, and so he was considered kind of, affluent for that time. But he does remember, when there were no, the rationing that was taking place, the sugar and the flour, the tires, how hard it was for people to live during that time and through that time. He relates a story about two bank presidents in Sedalia who put on the raincoat and galoshes and walked into the lagoon and drowned themselves during that time.
Oh.
And he just talks about how desperate that it was. And Sedalia, Missouri was a real place where there was just a lot of hardship going on at that time.
Wow. Wow. We're talking with Dr. Judith Brown, and the book is called Of Rain Crows and Ivy Leagues. And besides
leaves.
Yeah, leaves.
Leaves
and,
like on the tree.
Yeah, leaves like on the tree, exactly, which is it's brilliant because I have that image now after you talking about the story of him relating that to his child. So he also, the thing about him was interesting is that he cared about, when he was younger, he cared about kids that were underprivileged and handicapped, and that really kind of pushed him towards education, didn't it?
Yes, it did. He had some young friends who were handicapped, and he tried to be friends with them and was friends with them. He tells about that in the book. And he later went into special education as a diagnostician, and he tells especially one story about a young man that was in his class that he got into touch with later, and it's a very, very interesting story of that young man's life, who is now an elderly man. But, yes, he was very interested in and very empathetic towards those who are less fortunate than we.
Yeah. What was your life like with Ed?
Well, it was a wonderful life. My husband passed away in February of this year, and of course, he was, like I said, 26 years older than I am, and I really respected him and admired him, the person that he was and the things that he could do. He was just an incredibly intelligent person, I think, and he would never say that about himself, but he thought it was just, you know, hard work and elbow grease, you know, and he was willing to take whatever time it would to get things done. So he was a great inspiration to me. He encouraged me in my education and my career, and was always there helping me in every way that we could. One thing we did do, this, he talks about this in the book, is he liked to build houses. I mean, he didn't build them, but he would draw them up and work with the contractor. So we built about 10 houses, and that was a very interesting learning experience in how he would do that kind of work.
Yeah, and you say it, and you can tell it about the perfectionism and how he was super intelligent and was a doer, obviously. I can tell that. And he had a really disciplined life, right? So that he was a guy, I think, Dr. Brown, that it sounds like to me in reading this, is that he was an implementer. He knew to get things done, you had to have a system and you had to do it, right?
Yes, he did. He was, you know, he did things. I mean, he liked photography, and that was something that he did with zeal, and he did it with care and thought. And he liked to do woodworking, and he did that with care and thought. And, you know, if he made mistakes, he was always willing to go back and make the changes that needed to be made. But yes, he was a very, very disciplined person in every aspect of his life, which I admired, and that actually helped me in my life for him to be that way.
What do you hope people will get out of reading the book?
Well, I think that he wanted to write this book. He started by writing his memoirs, and he dictated to me as I typed, and later he would write by longhand and give me the manuscript to type. And one time we were making a trip to Florida, and he was telling me the story, and I was typing, and we were in the middle of World War II, and all of a sudden we realized we had gone 80 miles past our turnoff. But he wanted to leave a legacy of his life to his family, to his children, grandchildren, and future generations. And he wanted it to be more than just facts and figures. He wanted it to be the kind of person that he was and what he believed and how he operated. And I think that he was able to do that very well.
Yeah, and you can tell that through as it's weaved. His stories are weaved throughout the book. And again, Of Rain Crows and Ivy Leaves, that's the name of the book, and you can pick it up wherever great books are sold, and you get it on Amazon as well. Dr. Judith Brown, what a pleasure to talk to you. You were an absolute delight. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate this.
Are you tired of paying fees and commissions to that other site? I know you are. And I'm here to tell you about a great alternative to sell your stuff. BuySellMakeOffer.com is the best-selling site to ever come along. It doesn't matter what you're selling, big or small, it's easier than ever. And you can use Skype to show your items and get to know your potential buyer, and they can see that you are for real. No more blind trust. and you're not limited to snapshots. You can video what you're selling to better sell it fast. For as little as $9.95, and that's after a free 30 days, you can sell everything you no longer want with absolutely no fees, ever. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and become part of a community of buyers and sellers who have already discovered this revolutionary way of getting it sold online. That's BuySellMakeOffer.com. You'll never regret making the switch. BuySellMakeOffer.com. So, what are you waiting for?
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level. That's advertise.gcnlive.com.
ProPure Water Filters. Most trusted, most tested. Right now you can save 25% on the ProPure Nomad Gravity System. Visit an authorized ProPure dealer for details. That's P-R-O-P-U-R.
Right now, I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He's the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to Eric Peters Autos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we got to go along with biodiesel, or we got to go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables, but if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If they're such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels, and as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol and biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85, which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at, but that can be a disaster too as well for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that what I call the second-hand market, when we're talking about like used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right. I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid 70s, and they are were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride. Old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids and what does that mean and should I get a hybrid and how much does it cost to me? And what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find, now, I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of a hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S-turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yep.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that, but one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by with just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates. But when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it? Something like about half the eligible voter pool votes. So that's about 50%. And then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, a majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.